Certainly thankful for that humble prayer, Brother David. Certainly we need to come before the Lord in prayer and also come before him giving thanks. Or certainly he's been better to us than we are to ourselves. Thankful for all the prayers, prayerful messages I received today. Certainly they mean very much to me to have that fellowship with God's people throughout this country we live in, separated by miles, but we serve the one true and living God. We have a like precious faith. You have your Bibles this evening. I'd like to look at the 107th Psalm briefly, and in the 107th Psalm, it calls us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. I see here a thanksgiving, the redeemed being God's elect, that come from every kindred, nation, and tongue throughout the face of the earth, are called to give thanks to our Lord, understanding his goodness. In the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, he tells us that God's thoughts toward us are of good. He is good, his thoughts are of good, and not of evil. So they wonder, and I want to just look quickly, and there are four situations here that God's people are in, and when they're in the situation, they cry out to the Lord. The Lord hears their prayer, and that he answers them. One of our favorite scriptures in the Bible is, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven. I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land. A great prayer by Solomon at the dedication of the temple. But laying out some things that it's important for us to realize that if we pray to God, God hears those prayers and he promises to heal our land. So there's a time here that God's people are in the wilderness and they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered in a solitary way and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsting, their soul fainted in them. Aren't you glad that the Lord told us, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is a promise of God, of the reception of God's blessings. But God's blessings are given to us to a good God in obedience to him. But they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. While they were still in their situation, they cried out. Sometimes we need to be able to recognize when we're in a bad situation. We need to be able to stop ourselves, and we need to cry out to the Lord. Peter, when he walked on the water and he started to sink, at least he knew that who could provide him the help. As he was sinking in that fashion, he asked the Lord to save him. He says he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I look at this praise as an opportunity for God's people to give testimony of God's goodness to one another. Elder John Wallace Thrower says out here, you can't have a testimony unless you have a test. The test comes first. You go through the test. You go through the trial. You start in the trial. When God delivers you through the trial, you praise Him, and we should praise Him. But we can praise Him with our testimony of Him delivering us from our troubles and our distresses. He says the same thing when people are in an affliction and they call out, and in the same way He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He also releases us, if you will, when we get ourselves stuck as if a prisoner, and He breaks down those bands. Then they cry unto the Lord their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. I want to get here to this 23rd verse. I used to say quite often that peace was the absence of conflict. But I believe peace is much more than that, because we can have peace in the midst of conflict. And it's easy to have a peace when there's no conflict in our life. Everything is going good. Life is good. No problems. Health is good. But to have peace when there's conflict, when you're surrounded, when you're in the midst, and when you're in the middle of trials and tribulations, that is when peace becomes so precious. We need to understand and recognize that Jesus is our peace. In the 23rd verse, and as many of you know, I spent many years of my life in the Navy, traveling around in the oceans on ships that had windows. That's for Brother Ken. That I could see nature out there in the middle of the ocean and how it reacted. But it says in the 21st verse, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. I probably saw a lot of things in my time riding targets that most people don't see. That I was in a ship, and we went through some very tumultuous storms. It says in the 25th verse, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at the wit's end. You know, what that's talking about is you get on a ship out there in the midst of the ocean, where the ocean is going up and down, left and right, forward and back. It's hard to walk because you don't have a steady platform. And you go from side to side, and sometimes you run into the bulkheads, the walls. You know, sometimes there are those that fall overboard. And on those ships, we train a lot about how to rescue somebody that falls overboard, because they immediately are in a grave danger situation because they're outside the boat. In the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, we read an account where Paul is in a ship. And the ship, he's riding this ship. And they come and they go into a very big storm. And it's called, and in the 14th verse of the 27th chapter, it calls it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Sounds like a cyclone. You know, a hurricane and a typhoon and a cyclone are all the same storm. They're just called different things in different parts of the world. So this is a cyclone. This is a hurricane that they're in. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. You know, there is great fear in a great storm. And I'm going to share with you quickly, or not, a testimony. A testimony of deliverance that is talked about in the 107th Psalm. Then they're glad because they be quiet. That's the waves being quieted. So he brings them to the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. I spent several days on a ship about 48 years ago. That's a long time. It was the first ship I was on. I was 18 years old. And for whatever reason, the United States Navy thought it was a good idea to send that ship into the eye of a cyclone. Now, there was waves that were coming up over the top of the ship. They call it green water because as the bow of the ship goes into the water, the waves break over the top of the boat. There's great fear in that. But while you're inside the ship, you're safe. You're still worried that that ship might sink. But there we know of one that can stop that boat from sinking. The apostles were there and they said, the water was filling the boat. Don't you care that we perish? Talking to the Lord. All the Lord had to say is, peace, be still, and the winds ceased. Well, the cyclone I went into, the waves didn't cease for a couple of days as we were going into this cyclone. What is so interesting about a cyclone, though, is it's got an eye. They call it the eye of the cyclone. And as you go into the eye through the wall, they call that inside area the eye, and it has a wall that the storm itself is, it has the center of this, the eye of this surrounded. And as we went in, and you know, when I was 18 years old, I didn't think much about this. But lately, as I've been reading this and thinking about it, the lesson that I was learning then for the testimony that I could make to God's people today. But you go into the eye of a hurricane or a cyclone, and it was the quietest, most peaceful I had ever seen the ocean to this day. I was more afraid then than any time I think I was ever afraid going into that hurricane. and seeing this eye. And I'm talking, the wind ceased and the waters laid down. And there was a great calm and a great peace. They're in the very middle of this great storm. To give you a little idea, the eye of the hurricane has a low pressure area. That's because air is coming down and it is forced up on the outward bands, and that is how a hurricane comes together. But the most hot, the highest wind speed are right there at the eye where it meets the walls. I don't know how that works, but it does. But I want us to keep in mind that the air that makes the peace in the eye comes from above. It comes down from above. Our peace comes down from above. And that peace that comes down from above, there were, I looked upon the faces of some of the other sailors on our ship, and we had a ship of about 400 people, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. But what they saw at the time, we were told it's time to get out of this storm. We weren't in a storm. We were just fine where we were at. It was peaceful. But we knew going out of that storm, we were going to get back into those tempestuous waves. But I saw a change from fear when we came in to a attitude that everything was going to be all right going out, because we had been delivered once and the Lord will deliver us again. Just a beautiful picture, if you will, of how we can be right in the middle of the greatest problems and storms of life and still have peace that passeth understanding. I believe Jesus was in my boat. Over in back in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, we read of an account of the prodigal son. In the 27th chapter of Acts, it says in the 31st verse, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Except ye abide in the ship. These men with Paul, they were ready to jump overboard because they thought that was the only way that they were going to be safe. Paul told them, no, angel has showed me there will not be any loss of life. But he reminded them, except you abide in the, you stay in the ship, you stay where it's safe. Even though your fear wants you to do something that you should not do, or somebody encourages you to jump off the ship, don't do it. If you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You know that young man there in the 15th chapter of Luke, that prodigal son, he told his dad, give him his living. Give him what is due his. You know what he did? That son was jumping ship. He jumped off the ship. He jumped away. It was safe in the father's house. He was safe. He had everything in the father's house. He just didn't appreciate it. Thought he may have known better. Thought he could do it on his own. And the father gave him that amount. And it says he spent it on riotous living. Not righteous living. Riotous living. He wasted it. And when he came to his mind and he saw that he had nothing. He was eating with the pigs. He realized it was a safer place in his father's house, and he would go back and he would tell his father, "I just want to be a servant." You know, sometimes we fall overboard. But our God has never lost a case. And when we realize the straits we are in, if I ever fell overboard, I even at 18 years old, I probably would have started praying with all that was within me. Now, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. God's hand moves. Prayer moves the hand of God. And I believe the hand of God moved that young man to come back to his father. And his father saw him coming afar off and ran to greet him. You know, when you fall overboard and you get rescued, the whole crew will gather around that person because they were glad they were delivered from falling overboard. Father told the other son he was lost and now he's found. He also said he was dead and now he's alive. You know, we get ourselves into some situations where we lose a close fellowship with God. And it's because we've jumped overboard. We've forgotten, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. More personal experience. For many years while I was in the Navy, you see Sister Lana and I together, you might think that we have that wonderful, perfect relationship, but I'm sure all you that are married know that's not really realistic. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There were times, and I've told some of you this story, there were times where we couldn't talk to each other. We didn't like each other. She even told me one time, get out of the Navy and come home, or take the kids and enjoy your Navy career. But the one thing we did on Sunday morning, we went to the ship. We went where the captain of our salvation had set up when he established his church for a place where prayer was wont to be made, where the songs of Zion are sung proclaiming greatness unto our God, and that the word of God is shared, and the word of God is proclaimed, and the word of God is preached. When we left, you know, not everything was roses, but you know what? We were able to talk. I believe to this very day, if we didn't abide in the ship, our marriage would not have been saved. But who came at those times and provided that peace in storms of life to encourage us to go on? He told the waves and the wind, peace be still. I think there is a need for God's people to praise God in testimony. And the thing about a testimony and an experience in your life, it doesn't matter how many years ago it happened. It could be very much an experience someone needs to hear today. Let's praise God. Let's thank Him for His goodness. Let's thank Him when He answers our prayers. Let's praise Him. And when we praise Him, let us be witness and testify to others of His goodness and His mercy and His grace. Appreciate this time. Hope we've said some words that will help someone through a storm that may be going on in your life. And remember Him. He's in the boat. And when He's in the boat, it won't sink. God bless you is our prayer.